We will continue with our handout that we just looked at on the back page, titled The Paradise Chart Scriptures. And as I mentioned before, we went over these scriptures before, so we'll just go over the sayings that that I wrote beside each one and maybe just give a little more explanation. But first, up until Jesus came and started giving corrective teaching, accurate teaching about the afterlife, mankind did not know. And so, at least the Hebrew thinking of what happens to the soul after death is it's in Sheol, and that meant the grave in Hebrew. And so that's all that they knew. The body was in the grave, and so that means the soul had to be in the grave too. And we didn't turn to the Psalm 16. We looked at Peter's direct quote from David in Acts 2:27. Okay, so that's all that they knew. Now, Jesus, with the teaching of the rich man and Lazarus, gave accurate teaching and was for the first time revealing to mankind what really happens after death. And so, this point two, Hades. And Hades is the dwelling place of the unrighteous after physical death, but before judgment. Okay, so we have three subpoints here with Hades. First, torments. Jesus taught correctly about Hades that it was not the grave, and he called Hades torments in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Okay. Now, here's another term, Tartarus, that comes into play years later with Peter and Paul, and they call what Jesus, the Hades, the place that Jesus had called torments, they called it Tartarus. And we read those passages last week out of 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude verse 6. So, this point C. Hades, torments, and Tartarus are all names referring to the same place that the unrighteous dwell after physical death, but before judgment day. Okay, now this third point. Gehenna, that is the Greek word that correctly gets translated as hell into English. Unfortunately, Tartarus and Hades often get translated as hell. It does in the King James, and I'm sure I haven't looked at others, but I think it's common. Fortunately, Hugo McCord did not translate it as hell. Mother looked at that, and he accurately kept the Greek word, fortunately. So he translated Hades as Hades, and he translated Tartarus as Tartarus, not both of them as hell. This is part of the confusion that people think that Hades, Tartarus, torments are all hell, which is only referring to Gehenna. And so they think it's all one place instead of two separate places, unfortunately, because of the English translations. Okay, but Gehenna, that is the accurate translation of hell, is the eternal dwelling place for the unrighteous after judgment. And then we looked at two passages. Matthew 25. Originally and ideally, Gehenna was only supposed to hold the devil and his angels, because Jesus said that they will be cast into Gehenna, which is prepared for Satan and his angels. Okay, so originally and ideally, that's all that would have been there, is Satan and his angels. But due to man's unrighteousness, human souls will also be cast there with Satan and the angels. But if man had stayed righteous and never had sinned, then Gehenna would have only held Satan and his angels. Okay. And then Jesus tells further in Mark 9, that Gehenna, hell, is eternal fire, and it will never be extinguished. Then, Jesus, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, talks about this impassable chasm or a gulf that separates Hades from paradise. So it is impossible. And how this came up was, the rich man asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus across this chasm or gulf and dip his finger in the gulf and just let a drop or two onto his tongue. But Father Abraham said that that is impossible because you cannot cross this chasm or gulf. And that is why Timothy drew this chart this way. He said every other chart that he had ever seen, put them together, and where it's just one line dividing. But that's not right. There is a division. So that's why he drew it as two semicircles, two half circles, separated by a distance to show that it's impassable and impossible to go from one to the other because of this gulf and this great distance. Now, of course, we're speaking all in spiritual terms. This is a spiritual existence. So there is no distance. There's nothing physical. But with our physical, finite minds, Jesus had to use a terminology to explain the spiritual, eternal dwelling in terms that we can understand. And so this is how he explained this. So whatever it is, it's impossible. The main point, it's impossible for any soul to go from paradise to Hades or vice versa. Okay, so then paradise, this fifth point. We read in 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul had a vision and was caught up into paradise. And he called it the third heaven. And God gave him a vision of what paradise was. And so he actually had a memory of what it was, and he wrote this memory down when he was in this vision of what paradise was. But I don't know about Lazarus. If I was going to guess, I'm going to guess that his memory about paradise was wiped. That's what I'm going to assume. There's nothing was recorded anyway about what he experienced in paradise. So I'm going to assume that whenever he came, he had no memory. He just remembered that he was sick, and the next thing he knew, I'm going to assume, is that he just woke up, and then Jesus was saying, "Lazarus, come forth," and then they cut the mummified bandages, wrappings off of him. So, and then in Revelation chapter 2, it states that the tree of life is in paradise. So these are the four passages. Jesus saying that to the thief, "You will be with me in paradise." And then the rich man and Lazarus about a paradise, but Jesus does not call it paradise in that parable. He refers to paradise as Abraham's bosom, is what he calls it there. But when he's on the cross, that's where he says paradise. So we have those two passages. And then Paul said that he was caught up in a vision, and God took him in this vision to paradise. And then the tree of life is in paradise. So those are the four passages that mention and talk about paradise. And then the last point, heaven. In John chapter 14, Jesus ascended from earth and went to prepare heaven, which is prepared for righteous human souls. And then Matthew 25, heaven is the eternal dwelling originally and ideally meant for human souls. For all of human souls, is ideally it would have been all of human souls. But due to man's unrighteousness, not all souls will be allowed to dwell in heaven. And probably I think probably more accurately it would best be stated as only few, because Jesus said only few will find the straight and narrow path and obtain eternal life. So I wrote on here, not all souls, but it will be allowed to dwell in heaven. Only a few, according to Jesus' words himself, only a few will be saved and follow the straight and narrow path. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up in Luke chapter 17 next week.